This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين Always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله We be witness and testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى And we send our love and our greetings salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم To his pious and his pure family To his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be amongst them. Ameen. Ameen walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we continue with our series on the Malhama, the advent of the Mahdi. And I said this is in the context of what's happening in Jerusalem, in Palestine at the moment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant victory for the Mujahideen. May Allah make it easy for the Mustada'afeen, those who are struggling, those who have lost their lives. May Allah grant them Jannatul Firdaus. Those who have been injured, may Allah grant them Shifa'ah. Those who have lost their homes, may Allah replace what they've lost with better. And may Allah grant izzah and strength to this Ummah. Ameen. We mentioned 2 weeks ago when we started this that it's strange that the people that are most staunch supporters, ardent supporters of the genocide that's happening, supporters of Israel, are also people who claim to be extremely religious. And it's in the name of God, it's in the name of religion, it's in the name of goodness that they see no problem in the killing and the massacre of an entire population, children. And if you were to ask why, how can you still support the tyrant and the oppressor? They will mention that this is part of their belief and this is part of what they see as the signs of the end times. And so it's important for us to discuss this little eschatology. The end times, what is believed in the Christian faith, Jewish faith and the Islamic faith, and what are we seeing unfolding? So we mentioned when we started this that all religions seem to agree, or all the Abrahamic religions agree that there is going to come what is called a Malhama, an Armageddon, a great war. This is prophesied. It may happen tomorrow, it may happen 1,000 years from now, it may happen 100,000 years from now, Allahu A'lam. We are not a fatalistic religion. We don't wait for the end times to come. We don't wait for a Messiah and a Savior. We operate as if though, inshallah, we have it in our control. But with the knowledge that there will come an end and there will be a great war called the Malhama or the Armageddon. There will also be certain figures that will appear during this time. We know that there will be a Savior, the Messiah, and there will be a false Messiah, a counterfeit Messiah called Dajjal. This is agreed from an Islamic perspective, a Christian perspective, and even the concept of a Messiah is a Jewish prophecy. So we're all waiting and we're all watching the events on both sides looking, is this it? Are we seeing the end times unfold? And so we mentioned some of the, from our eschatology, from our literature, the Islamic narrative that as time gets closer to the Qiyamah, what's going to happen is that the Muslim world will have no ruler, no leader. We're living in that time. It's been 100 years, no Khalifa. That there will be a sense of civil war, strife, fighting within the Ummah. We see that. It's been like this for a long time. And it'll be in this context when Islam will be many but weak. The Muslim lands will be plentiful but oppressed. That Islam, the people will be able to read and write and learn, but knowledge will be scarce. Where people will be clothed but naked. Where everybody will be touched by riba. Even the one who wants to try very hard to avoid riba is going to be touched. Allah, the Prophet speaks about a time like that. This is coming close to Qiyamah. We're living in that time. We're living in those times. And it will be in this context where the Muslim world will be without a leader, without a Khalifa, that Allah will send someone from the progeny of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will not be a superman or a superhero. He will be a normal man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadiths will make him upright, make him righteous. And he would be appointed against his will. Against his will, he will be appointed as the ruler of the Muslims, the next Khalifa. He will be the next Khalifa and he will of course be Imam Mahdi. We spoke about these things in our previous lecture, that he will be appointed as the Mahdi, the The word Mahdi means the guided one. Like the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned about the Khulafa, Al-Khulafa, Rashidin, Al-Mahdiyin. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, follow my sunnah, my way, and the sunnah of the rightly guided Khalifas after me. So Imam Al-Mahdi, well, the Mahdi, would not be, from our perspective, he's not a superhuman. He does not have any miracles or karama. He doesn't have any supernatural powers. He's a leader, and he's the best amongst us. And he will unite us by the barakah, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will start fixing the problems that we have within our ummah. And he would start from Mecca and Medina, and he will move through Arabia to Syria. And he will be accompanied by many, many followers and supporters, particularly from Khurasan, which is Afghanistan, Iran area, and throughout the world, the Muslim world will rally with him. And so this will be the beginning of the Mahdi and his quest. And subhanAllah, it mentions in the hadith that one of his objectives would be Jerusalem. In a hadith, the Nabi says, the Mahdi, and no one can stop the army of the Mahdi until it reaches Jerusalem. So for some reason, the Mahdi's focus would be there will be conflict in Palestine. There will be conflict in Palestine. And that is why whenever there is a conflict in the Middle East, or in Jerusalem in particular, this sends off alarm bells. And are we seeing prophecy? Or is it just another chapter in the the evolving nature of it? And as I said before, There are a number of hadith where the Nabi speaks about conflict in Jerusalem between the Muslims and the Yahud. And I must take a moment to pause here. This does not mean that we are anti-Semitic. It does not mean that the Nabi is prescribing that we can only exist with the Jews in a state of war. No. We have 1,500 years, and we've given lectures on this, that Muslims and Jews coexisted well. And the Jewish religion, the Jewish community, a very oppressed community, found greater success within Muslim lands than European lands. But the Nabi is telling you about the future. And he's saying that a time will come where in Jerusalem there will be great war between the Muslims and the Jews. And what's interesting is when the Nabi gave this prediction, when he mentioned this, there was not a single Muslim or a single Jew in Jerusalem. At the time, Jews were expelled from Jerusalem and Muslims had not reached Jerusalem yet. This was purely a Christian place. And the Nabi is saying that this would be close to Qiyamah, and the advent of Dajjal would be a conflict between the Muslims and the Jews. And so the Nabi mentions here that the hour will not come to pass until the Muslims and the Jews fight. And this is in the context of Jerusalem. So that is why when we see, and this is the first time, interesting, subhanAllah, if you look at the history of Islam, there has never been an outright war between a Muslim army or a Muslim group and a Jewish state. The Bani Israel never had a country until the state of Israel was formed in our history. And so for the first time we're seeing prophecy of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam coming to pass, and that is why people become excited. Back to the Mahdi. So the Mahdi, what's going to happen? Once he brings together the Muslim Ummah and he moves forward through the Middle East and with the objective of Jerusalem, this will then begin the next sort of chain in the cycle would be the event of the Malhama, which is the Armageddon, the Great War, World War III, whatever you want to call it. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions this and he says, count six things that will indicate the coming of Qiyamah. My death, when I die, one. Number two, the conquest of Jerusalem. When Muslims conquer Jerusalem, that's number two. There will be a plague that will kill many of you, many Sahaba, that will afflict many of you. And this happened. It was called the plague of Al-Amwas. Many Sahaba died because of this plague. That's what happened already. It will afflict you as a plague afflicts a sheep. Then you will go through a stage of increase of wealth to such an extent that even if one is given 100 dinars, he will not be satisfied. And one could mention the Muslim Ummah did go through that. When the Muslims had risen up Al-Hamra and Baghdad and the great glory days of Islam, the Muslims went through a great stage of wealth and prosperity. Then an affliction which no Arab house will escape. Now no one, there's no clear understanding what this means. Now, a fitna will come which will afflict every household. As we said, some people mention COVID is this. Allah Alam, we don't know what these things, and we shouldn't try and read our day and age. Some have said it's the internet is the fitna that no household will be aware of, the television. Every generation looks to their time and they read these hadith and they try to superimpose the day and age in it. But Allah Alam, Nabi says, then you will have an affliction, a fitna, that no Arab house, meaning no home, will escape. Then the Nabi says, you would have a truce between you, the Muslims, and the Europeans, who will betray you. And this peace that you have will be broken. And they will attack you under 80 flags. Under 80 flags, there would be 12,000. So this is the Malhama. So there will be a major conflict. The last of the six is there will be a major conflict between Muslims and Europeans. A world war. World War III, or Allah Alam, whatever world war it's going to be, will be between Europe, European powers, and the Muslim world. It's per the hadith discussion. And this is called the Malhama. In another hadith, the Nabi says, the flourishing of the state of Jerusalem will coincide, and will then be with the, will be when Yathrib is in ruins. When Jerusalem flourishes and Medina is neglected or in ruins, at that point there will be the great war. The great war will come out. The outbreak of this great war. Now, what's going to happen in this war? There will be a massive, and we'll talk about more hadith about this war between the Muslims, the Mahdi on the one side, and the Europeans. But the Nabi says this great war will end with the Muslims winning. The Muslims will win the Malhama. And they will then reach the end of this, they will reach Constantinople. They will reach Constantinople in Turkey. And the hadith mentions that they will conquer Constantinople without any fighting. Now, this is interesting. I take a side note here. So just the stages. Imam Mahdi appears. He unites the Ummah. He then goes to war with the European superpowers. A great war ensues. His objective is Jerusalem, but he doesn't reach there. Instead, he ends up going to Turkey and conquers Constantinople. And when Constantinople is conquered, Dajjal will appear. Now, Constantinople, we've already conquered this. The Ottoman Empire, Fatih Muhammad the Conqueror, he conquered Constantinople. When the Nabi Sallam mentioned this hadith, Constantinople was the greatest city in the world. It was the biggest city in the world. There was no army that ever conquered it until many, more than 1,000 years later, the Ottomans conquered it. And that's why the scholars mention there is two conquests of Constantinople. The first one happened already. In the hadith literature, the Prophet ﷺ mentions that my ummah will one day conquer Constantinople, and what a great ruler he would be, what a great victorious. There is war, there is fighting in this one. That happened already, the Ottomans. The one at the end of times at the Malhama, this conquest happens without any fighting. An army of Mahdi reaches, they make takbir, and the army, basically the city surrenders. And it would fit to imagine that the city is ruled by a group that is, and I'm not saying that's the current state, I mean, we're not talking about current politics, but it would be a context where the city is a Muslim city, but it's being ruled by an enemy. And so the army of the Mahdi enters, and the city is liberated without fighting. So it would fit in the context that we find today. Once Constantinople is under the control of the Mahdi, the Nabi ﷺ mentions that's when Dajjal will appear, and then, of course, the age of Dajjal will begin. Okay. The Malhama, what more do we know about it? The Nabi says, the time between the beginning of the Malhama and the conquest of Constantinople will be 6 years. So there's a 6-year war. And that's why also when the 6-day war appeared, and if you look at one of the Israeli prime ministers, he had an eye patch. Everyone tried to read into these things. This is Qiyamah we are seeing. When they built skyscrapers, the Burj Khalifa, that's Qiyamah. We should never try and read our events, but take note of these things. So the Nabi says, between the Great War and the conquest of Constantinople is 6 days, 6 years, sorry. And the Dajjal will come on the 7th. He will appear on the 7th year. He says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Muslims will then fight, this army will fight against the Europeans. And a third of the army would run away. This war would be so difficult that one third would run away, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah would be very, very displeased with this group. He will not forgive them. Then one third will continue to fight, and they will be martyred, and they will be the greatest shuhada in the sight of Allah. And then one third will remain, and they would win the war, and they would conquer Constantinople. In another hadith, all this about the Malhama, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, there would be a terrible fight, and the Muslims would prepare a detachment which would not return but victorious, meaning they would go out with the intention, we will fight until the death or win, and they will not return. They will fight until night will intervene, then both sides will take a break from fighting without being victorious, and both will be wiped out. They will fight until the death, both sides. And the Muslims will again prepare a detachment and fight until the death or until victory. And this will continue until a fourth day. And a new detachment of the remaining Muslim armies would prepare, and Allah would decree for this for them to win. So 4 days would continue until they would prevail. And they would, the hadith continues, and this army would fight such a great fight, the likes of which has never been seen. So much so, that even if a bird were to fly over them, it would fall down dead. Now again, type of weapons we have today, the type of chemicals, the type of, no, you never had situations where birds flying die, you know, as they come over, until modern technology or modern warfare. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah alam, the Nabi mentions that it will be so severe that even the animals around would die. It will fall down dead before reaching the end. That would be such a massacre. And at the end of the battle, when counting the survivors, one in every 100 would survive, meaning it would have a 99% attrition rate, 99% death rate, which no war has had such a great conflict. So these are weapons that once dropped, no one survives. So what, then he says, so even though they would be victorious, this army would win, and they would conquer Constantinople, there'll be no joy in it. Because what victory can there be? What joy can there be when so much death and destruction happens? And it will be in the midst of this sort of victory but despair. They would win, but they will be sad. When a more terrible calamity will be informed, they will be informed that the Dajjal has appeared. Dajjal has appeared. And so this then begins the age of Dajjal. Now, if we look at how, this is the Islamic narrative. If we compare this to the Christian, interesting, just for interest's sake, how much of this lines up? And how much of this is what we're seeing? The Christians believe they are also seeing Qiyamah. So many people sitting here, and I've got certain calls and saying, ah, what's happening is definitely Qiyamah, don't be sure. But everyone is looking at it, ah, all the boxes are ticked, I'm seeing Qiyamah, I know which side I need to be on. Now, the same thing is happening on the other side. From a Christian perspective, it says the Bible mentions that there will be a terrible conflict in Israel during the end time. They also, number one, mention the hotspot, where the Armageddon is going to happen. It's not going to happen in China. It's not going to happen in Europe. It's going to happen in the Middle East, particularly in Jerusalem. Right? This is where we all agree that's where the place is going to be. And this is why this period is called the Great Tribulation. And and in this time, so What does the Bible mention about this time, this great tribulation? Number one, there will be a mass return of Jews to the land of Israel. So interesting, the Bible mentions that the Jews will return and they will re-establish a kingdom or a country in Jerusalem. This is, or in Palestine. And this has, of course, happened now, the last 70 years. And the Antichrist will make a 7-year covenant with peace. There will be a peace between... Now, similar to the hadith, remember the hadith said there's a peace that will be broken. The Christians believe, of course, their Antichrist is us. We must be clear. From their perspective, they believe our Mahdi or our Messiah is their Antichrist. And so when they read that there will be a peace, they mean between the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims, we will break that peace and Dajjal will be on our, well, we will be following Dajjal. So they say we Muslims, or the Antichrist, will break the peace with Israel. And the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. The temple will be rebuilt, and Dajjal will take that as his capital. We both agree on that. Both sides agree that Dajjal will claim Jerusalem as his capital. Interesting. The Antichrist will break his covenant with Israel, and the worldwide persecution of Israel will begin. And so when they believe that the Dajjal will persecute the Jews, so when they see Muslims fighting Jews, they say, that's Dajjal. You guys are Dajjal. You understand the psychology here. And Israel will be invaded. Israel will finally and eventually, Allah will, or in their context, Jesus, who is Allah, wa'yadu billah, will descend and he will kill Dajjal and he will liberate the Jews and he will establish his kingdom. And as he descends, the Christians believe, when Jesus descends, all the Christians will die and they will be joined up with just called the rapture. So this is what they, when, so whenever they see Jerusalem, Israel at war, whatever Israel does, they believe this is the people of God, this is the people on the right side, and if you fight against them, you are the followers of Dajjal. And you've already made your mind up as to who the good guys and the bad guys are. You've already decided these are the followers of Shaitan, and that's the followers of God. And so even if it's a child that we're dropping a bomb on, that's Dajjal, so it's okay. And this is not how religion works. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, does not take sides on a genocide. Or does not support a genocide. He doesn't have a special rules for different people. Injustice is injustice. This is in all religions. This is all faiths. We all agree on that. God does not stand on the side of the oppressed, on the oppressor. Right. So, from a Christian perspective, there will be this great war between, and now if you listen to the context, it's Muslims, and our Mahdi is their Dajjal, and we will fight and invade Jerusalem, and we will unite against Israel, and eventually Nabi Isa or Jesus will descend. Now, important points, I think, in our last lecture, we said, and this is another thing to think about, our Dajjal will have, well, not our Dajjal, the Dajjal within Islamic context, he will have miracles. Nabi Isa, when he returns, does not have miracles. Imam Mahdi has no miracles. Dajjal will have supernatural powers and he'll be able to control the weather. He will have either advanced technology, something. Allah would give him the ability and he will utilize the jinn. We know this from the narrations. Dajjal will have supernatural powers and he will therefore be, no one can stop him. He will then claim to be the Messiah. He will claim, because look guys, I'm fixing the world. And so I'm the Messiah. And people will follow him. But then he will ask to be worshipped and claim to be God. And this is where the Nabi is warning us. We only worship Allah. Now, the Christians are waiting for a Messiah. The return of Nabi Isa. They already claim Nabi Isa is a God. They already claim that Nabi Isa resurrected with his own ability. That Nabi Isa can perform miracles. So when they see a Superman that resurrects the dead and calls people to worship him, in their mind, this is the Messiah. And that is why there will be two figures, a true Messiah and a false Messiah, a Dajjal. And from our perspective, the thing that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us to keep secure, Allah mentions in Surah Kaf, we recite it every Friday, and it's a protection for us against Dajjal. Why? If you look at Surah Kaf, there are many supernatural people there. Dhulqarnain travels the world. You find Khidr alayhi salam, who knows the present, past, and the future. You see the people who sleep for 300. There will be many super people, superhumans. But Allah is saying, you don't worship anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our compass is La ilaha illallah. Anybody who claims to be a Nabi, or claims to be Allah wa iyadu billah, a God, we know that is a false Messiah. That is a Dajjal. And so this is the thing, that we do not worship miracles. And we do not worship miracle workers. In fact, someone who does have strange abilities, we need to ask, where does that come from? Where does that come from? And so, just to summarize quickly what would happen. When Dajjal appears, and inshallah, may perhaps next week we will talk about Dajjal. Dajjal will appear. And of course, he will rule over the world for a number of years. And this will be the greatest test of human faith. And none will escape him. None will be able to. The Nabi says that if he appears and he comes to you, run away. You can't fight him. You can't challenge him. And the Muslims will suffer and struggle until Allah will send the true Messiah, Nabi Isa, will return. And he will then remove Dajjal. And that will begin the age of the Messiah. And the age of the Messiah, as is mentioned by the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims, the age of Nabi Isa will be one of complete peace. There will be no fighting anymore. Everybody would unite under the Messiah, Nabi Isa. And as we end off with this point, as we know, on Monday is Christmas. And as Muslims, we remind our Christian friends and neighbors that we have the utmost love for Nabi Isa alayhi salam, the utmost love for his mother, Maryam alayhi salam. In fact, Maryam is mentioned more times in the Quran than in the Bible, that we believe in his miraculous birth. We believe in the miracles that he performed through the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe that he is the Messiah and he will return once again to unite the world in peace and harmony. But we also believe that his message was La ilaha illallah. His message was, as Allah says in the Quran about Nabi Isa, he said to his people, Qala, Inna Allah Rabbi, Allah is my Lord wa Rabbukum, and He is your Lord. Fa'abudu, so worship Him alone. That is the Sirat al-Mustaqim. That was His message. It was the message of Musa. It was the message of Ibrahim. It was the message of all the Anbiya. La ilaha illallah. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us to live upon the kalima of La ilaha illallah, to die upon the kalima of La ilaha illallah. Grant us safety and security in this time of fitna, of tribulation. We ask Allah to make easy for our brothers and sisters in Palestine and to grant victory. May you have a blessed may the year end in a blessed way. Some of you are taking holiday and leave. May you travel safely. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that 2024, we have got another Jumu'ah next week, but may Allah grant that 2024 be better than the year that passed. Jazakallah khair. Few announcements. A lot of people going on Umrah, alhamdulillah, that's what they say. Eh? There's a saying, work hard, get a bonus and go on Umrah. And then repeat the cycle. So alhamdulillah, that's the best way. So for those of you going on Umrah, I can't mention all your names, there's so many names here. May Allah grant you Umrah Maqbool. May Allah grant you a safe journey. Please remember all of us in your du'as. Remember the community. Remember us here in Cape Town. This masjid is called the Pilgrim Masjid. Before Burhan, it was a pilgrim masjid. And whenever the hajis would go on Hajj or Umrah, it was a big deal because only the very, very special people got to go. And so you represent all of us. You stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your du'as are accepted. Remember us in your du'as. Remember the ummah in your du'as. And Allah grant you all Umrah Maqbool. And then for those of you who remain, there's still some stuff happening here in Cape Town. You know, Book Up is liquor during the festive season. There is the at the Burhanul Hub, there are food trucks and stuff. Please support it, inshallah. It is for a good cause. And alhamdulillah, we see all the artwork going around in commemoration of Palestine. Please show your support. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala sahbihi sallam ursaleen. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.